Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Back on FNTSY. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy content all day. It's myself and Kevin here for hour number three, so we wrap it up at noon, which passes over to In This League with Bogman and the Welsh. And then after that, from 3 to 6, is the weekend fantasy, the weekend update. That is with Joe Galina and George Kurtz. So there'll be some schedule changes coming up soon, but for now, that's it. Kevin and I are here tomorrow morning, 9 to 12. You got Fantasy Football Frenzy after that, and then the Fantasy Baseball Hour after that. Normally, you know, throughout the year we've talked baseball, but it's clearly football season, and people are listening to us to talk football. You know, I'm a Yankees fan, and I couldn't be in a worse mood about baseball at the moment. So it is what it is. Rick Porcello pitched an unbelievable game last night, and that's that. So that division was thought to be slipping away, and it by the end of this weekend, it might be toast.
I think it's safe to say that still all these fans came out here to watch a game of football.
John?
Good stuff. So I think Sean Engel, our producer, said it best when he said, just talk about football, please. So there we go. So, Kevin, you said you wanted to set me up.
Mm-hmm.
On the Titans.
Yes.
I would like you to do so right now, please.
You have the number, so let me just kind of set the stage here. The Tennessee Titans are a team that you will find Mike and I actually have a lot of to agree on here. We think that this is going to be not only a bounce back team, but a very, very legit contender. Last year, that offense really, really struggled. Mariota was horrible. But if you look at that 2016 season, they were ranked as a top 10 offense. Mariota had 26 touchdowns to 9 interceptions. The running game was fantastic. DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry combined for 14 total touchdowns and had about 1,800 yards on the ground. They averaged 4.6 yards per carry as a team running the football, which was top five in the NFL. And if you look at the receiving game, Rashad Matthews had a fantastic season. Delanie Walker was really good. And if you now look to the roster today, there's no reason for Marcus Mariota not to be better. The receiving core is better than it was in that 2016 season that finished top 10. And I think that the pair of Deion Lewis and Derrick Henry can be better than what the pair of Murray and Henry were in that 2016 season. And a lot of it is tied to Matt LaFleur. And Mike, I know you have the numbers on how this is all likely to tie together for what should be a very good season for the Titans.
So I came across a tweet yesterday, and I've been banging the Titans drum for how long would you say, Kev? A couple of months, just saying about how I think this is going to be the team that people. Now, they were a playoff team last year, so they're not going to shock the world like the Rams going worst to first and worst offense to best offense. It's not going to be that kind of shocking turnaround, but I do think they're poised for improvement, particularly Mariota and the offense as a whole. So I came across a tweet yesterday for a very well-respected fantasy football analyst and a guy that I've competed in leagues with. He actually won a SiriusXM Invitational League that I was in last year. That was one of the most competitive leagues I've ever been in. Like the margin for error was so tight. And he won. He beat me twice during the year. And it was frustrating as all hell because there was so few points separating like first from 10th, you know, that kind of league. So anyway, his tweet yesterday, last year, the Titans ran 3 play action plays in their playoff loss to New England out of 64 overall, 4.7%. but it led me to going to a thread that he had actually just commented on. And it's from Spoonie, and a guy that does a lot of statistical work. Spoonie, it's at Spoonie with two underscores, I believe. Mariota had the highest passer rating, 122.8, and yards per attempt, 11.1 in the NFL on play action passes this past season, per Pro Football Focus. Matt LaFleur relies heavily on play action. And over the past two seasons, LaFleur's teams have used play action more than anyone in the NFL. That's what I've been saying. I've been saying this exact thing for the last couple of months. He has the highest passer rating on screen passes the last 3 years. Kirk Cousins, Matt Ryan, Alex Smith, Marcus Mariota, Aaron Rodgers. That's your top five. Keep going. I'm going to keep going on this because the numbers are drastic or really stark in when you start to break them down. Get more ones. He's the fifth highest graded QBs in the red zone over the last 3 years. He pulled stats from all over the place, this guy Spoonie, on this. Highest graded QBs in red zone over the last 3 years. Tom Brady, Andrew Luck, Aaron Rodgers, Carson Wentz, Marcus Mariota. Keep going. Give me a second as I just get all the way through Twitter. He worked with Matt Ryan for 2 years as Atlanta's quarterbacks coach, and one of those seasons saw Ryan win the MVP.
Boom.
He worked with Robert Griffin, who established Redskins rookie records in pass completions, passing yards, passing touchdowns, and rushing yards by a quarterback. He set the NFL rookie records for passer rating and percentage of passes intercepted, which was below 2%. In 2009, LaFleur helped Matt Schaub, lead the NFL with 4,770 passing yards and 396 completions. I think there was a 500-yard game in there. He ranked fifth in the league with 29 touchdowns and seventh with a 98.6 passer rating. And the last one, Matt LaFleur's QB finishes. Jared Goff last year was 12th. Matt Ryan in 2016 was second. The year before that, he was 19th. RG3 was 18th the year before that. But then RG3 was 5th. RG3 was 24th when he missed three games. Donovan McNabb, 21st. Matt Schaub, 4th. Matt Schaub, 20th. So there is a little bit of peaks and valleys right there. But I get the sense that this is all going to impact Mariota in a huge way. They love play action. It's why I really like Deion Lewis, and I really like Mariota this year. I think Delanie Walker continues to be a force, and the wide receiving core is what we have to figure out. I think Derrick Henry is very valuable. He'll see. This doesn't mean that they're just going to go pass happy in order to set up the play action. You need to be able to run the ball fairly well. They have a good offensive line. I just think that this offense is building up in the right way. Good O-line, two good backs, good quarterback, great tight end, and talented wide receiver. That's how I feel about it.
Tag me in. Here's the thing as well. We're doing this thing.
Sorry,
all
that was
season.
A long.
No.
That was a
it was
long,
perfect.
Long soliloquy.
It was perfect. It was perfect. It's exactly what was necessary to put this into perspective. And to further the point, all offseason, people are saying, who's going to be the Rams? They look at the Niners. They look at the Bears. It's the Tennessee Titans. This is going to be a top 10 offense this year. The jump is not as drastic as what the Rams did. That's not going to happen again. We're not doing this 30-second offense to the best offense in football. The Titans are going to be a top 10 offense. They have everything you need. Conservatively ranked, a top 10 offensive line. Probably a top 5 offensive line. Mariota is a very good quarterback. I think that Marcus Mariota is still, I would take him over Deshaun Watson if you gave me the pick of young quarterbacks today. I understand what Watson did. We'll get there next segment. This running game is going to be wonderful. There are debates between fantasy experts, draft Derrick Henry, draft Deion Lewis. I'll tell you this, I think they're both going to be really good. If any team has a chance to replicate what the Saints did with Kamara and Mark Ingram, it's this Tennessee Titans football team. And I think that Corey Davis has the chance to be a very legit number one. Tony Sincotta says a lot of things. But I think Tony always knows the gravity of putting too high of expectations. But he said that when he watched Corey Davis, he understood the comparisons to Terrell Owens, who just went into the Hall of Fame this past weekend. Tony Cincotta is a guy who typically says, okay, people are being ridiculous. He was willing to say that. And I've seen people look at Corey Davis and still feel confident in that. What he did against the Pats, even though they lost that game, that two-touchdown game, was wonderful. And they were being held back last year. You look at those play action numbers. There are a few quarterbacks in this league that are as effective in play action as Marcus Mariota, and for them to run it as few
times as they did. By the way, those numbers
were
happening in the middle of the season last year, and he didn't adjust. It's why he got fired.
Of course.
Mariota didn't play well. He was obviously banged up, but he was not calling the right plays for his player.
No.
We talked about this at a different topic a couple of weeks back. But very often we see, and it's frustrating as fans, it's frustrating for probably people within the NFL. Like, you're not using that guy the right way.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't him. You're using him the wrong way. And I've felt that with Mariota in Malarkey's offense. Like, last year they made the playoffs. They ended up being a 9-7 team, and they win that playoff game. Am I right? Yeah, 9-7, they win the playoff game, come from behind win against the Chiefs. They're calling the right plays. It could have been 11 or 12. It just could have been.
I could not agree
that's
more.
That's the way I feel. That's the way I felt about that team, and the defense is pretty damn good too.
The thing about the Titans that was so odd last year is they were 9-7. They played so much worse than a 9-7 football team, but their roster was way more talented than a 9-7 football.
Yeah, team. No, people would say it constantly because they were actually 8-4.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I had them over. I had them over last year, and they were 8-4. And I was like, it was 8.5. I was like, I'm good. I was like, they haven't played that well. They beat, you go through. They actually crushed the Jaguars in week 2.
Slaughtered them.
And then beat the Seahawks. Then got absolutely annihilated by Deshaun Watson, 57-14.
Yeah.
Then the loss to Miami. They beat the Colts. They squeaked one out in overtime against a winless Browns team.
Mm-hmm.
Squeaked one out against the Ravens. Squeaked one out against the Bengals. Annihilated by the Steelers. Squeaked one out against the Colts. Beat the Texans. Then lose to the Cardinals, who were
horrible.
They were reeling at that point. They were reeling at that point.
Lane Gabbert.
They weren't horrible.
I mean,
true.
Quarterback.
That was a Gabbert game. They lost to the Niners, who had Jimmy G in then. They lost to the Rams. Those are close games. They beat the Jaguars in week 17 to go over. And the Jaguars were trying, which was making me nuts because they were already locked in. But Doug Marrone had the whole team out there. So they won that game in the fourth quarter. And then played terrible against the Chiefs in the playoff game in the first half. And then somehow the Chiefs blew that game. It was really miraculous. But anyway. You see, I think you see where we're going with the Titans in general.
Yeah.
So let's break down the players specifically, because that's the important part. I think my pulpit is adorned with Titans memorabilia this year. So Marcus Mariota is the 17th quarterback off the board. It means you can just get him whenever you want.
This is why people wait on quarterbacks.
If your league is the type of league, look. I've been talking about this for a while, but you get Matt Ryan, Jared Goff, and Marcus Mariota at 14, 15, or 17. I like some of those guys more than the guys that are ranked QB1s. I just do.
I know one specifically.
I'll probably take all of them over Jimmy G. Probably. I probably would. Goff, Jimmy G, that's close. But I'd definitely take Matt Ryan over him. And I just think Mariota, I'm telling you, I think this is the year. As long as he can stay healthy, and that is a fair question to ask. He has not historically stayed healthy, so and including last year when he played hurt. So you have him at 17th. If your league is the type of league where not everybody is picking up two QBs, you understand how long you can wait. But if you are there and 12, 13 quarterbacks have gone, don't be shy about taking Mariota. Now, Matt Ryan's there, probably take him, but don't be shy. Don't be shy about taking Mariota because you're seeing ADPs at 17 and there's only 13 guys gone. Just take him. So he's the 14th QB off the board. And you passed up Mahomes and you passed up Alex Smith and, maybe even Jimmy G there. So I'll take Mariota. I'm with him. I'm with this offense. And I'm going to go down with the ship. I won't sit here months from now. Well, yeah, he got, I mean, unless he gets hurt. I'll be like, well, yeah, but, you know, this guy got hurt. I was a little banged up. And you said that the Titans, like I said, I'm a believer in Matt LaFleur. So we're going to have to go through, because of my soapbox, we're going to have to go through to the next segment to continue to talk about the Titans. But ultimately, that's where we're at on Mariota. As far as the running backs are concerned, an interesting dynamic has happened in the last month, because in PPR leagues, Deion Lewis is now ranked higher than Derrick Henry is. They're both right in the end of the RB2 conversation. Lewis currently at 21, Derrick Henry at 25. Too low for me on Derrick Henry. I think he does see enough carries that he may not be a bell cow, but I think he sees 200 carries, and I think there's a whole bunch of touchdowns in there. You know, we're comparing him to guys like Isaiah Crowell, who could also see 200 carries. Derrick Henry, that offense is going to be better. He'll see more touchdown opportunities, and it'll be a clear goal line back there. So I think 25 is too low, so you can get him at value. And Deion Lewis at 21, it's really interesting that they've flip-flopped, but I've had them ranked sort of right next to one another through all of this. So I'll give you 1 minute on that before we get a break.
Well, look, I want both of them. Between Henry and Murray last year, there were 360 carries. No matter how you split that up, even if you're a Deion Lewis guy, Derrick Henry's going to get a lot of those carries. And Deion Lewis will be effective in the pass game. I know everybody, Deion Lewis is the better running back. That's fine. The Titans are going to give the ball to Derrick Henry a ton. And the one thing I will say, if somebody made me choose between the two, I'm more than fine happy having both. If I had to choose between the two, I worry more about...
They're going to both be on the board at one point. So you got to make a choice.
I worry more about Lewis's injuries, and it pushes me to Henry, because I think the Titans like him more as well.
Okay, cool. We'll come back. We'll talk about those backs. We'll talk about that wide receiving core and how highly you draft Delanie Walker. It's Mike Blewett and Kevin Walsh on Fantasy Sports Today. We'll be right back.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Shout out to DMB on FST. We're talking Titans, and then we're going to move over to the Texans in a moment. Would you bake a cake? Kevin Walsh, let me ask you this. Would you bake a cake without a recipe?
Sounds like a foolish move.
Yeah, or go to trial without a lawyer?
I would never.
Yeah, so then why would you go into your fantasy football draft without the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package? You just wouldn't. We have a Fantasy Hall of Famer and the number one overall football accuracy expert on staff, writing articles, compiling rankings, projecting 2018 statistics, and answering your pre-draft questions. Our company has been nominated for over 60 fantasy industry awards in the last 3 years alone. We're here to help you win. So go to rotoexperts.com, use the code WINNER to get 10% off, and give us the honor of leading you to fantasy glory with the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. So, Matt LaFleur is the offensive coordinator. Dean Pease, as I was reading an article a while back, Dean Pease is the defensive coordinator, long time associated with Ravens, I believe. So am I mixing that up? Ravens or? Yeah, we have Ravens. I got a Ravens-Pats thing mixed up there. But what's funny is that Dean Pease is 68 years old. He has 45 years of coaching experience and 2 Super Bowl rings, and Matt LaFleur is 38. So in this article that I just pulled back up, they compared it to a cop movie. It's like the grizzled veteran and the young hotshot coaching one another. So they're 30 years apart in age. It's almost like our radio show here. But what I mentioned earlier about the backs was rankings. I should note that via ADP on Fantasy Football Calculator, Henry is going 18th. out of backs, 33rd back overall, and Lewis sliding down to 28. They're about two rounds apart. I think that's sort of how it worked out in Scott Fishbowl. They were about a round and a half apart. I had Henry lined up, and then Pat, he didn't get to me, and then I got Lewis about a round and a half later. So that holds up from what I've seen so far. I got a few more drafts coming up that I'll have a little bit more personal experience, and I'll continue to do some other ones. I'm going to join some best balls and things of that nature. So we got a little bit more to talk about with our personal drafting. But anyway, there we go. So there's your backs. You're going to pay about two rounds more of a premium for Henry than Lewis. I don't have a problem with either price tag if you're getting Henry at the end of the fourth round or Lewis at the end of the fifth round.
No, I really do like both of them. I understand if people don't want to own both. It's also really difficult. As you said, they're going right next to one another. But look, last year, Kamara and Mark Ingram were both RB1s. That is very, very unlikely to happen again from any team, let alone
yeah, they won't be RB1s.
I'm not saying, but I think that Deion Lewis and Derrick Henry can both be RB2s.
Yeah, I agree. I think they can be as well. I think that's fair what you said about Lewis's injury history, and it's okay that you have Henry over them. I don't have a problem with that. But I think, you know, as we've seen Deion Lewis in particular move up. Mariota has kind of stayed even. He's been right around there, mid-range QB2. I haven't seen the love get after him yet, but maybe people's eyes are opening. Maybe he creeps up a little bit. It's hard at the QB position because it means you have to have a reason to move somebody down. Do you know what I mean? And with the Niners' love and Matt Ryan and Jared Goff in front of him, it can be difficult to move those guys around. Pat Mahomes could slide a little bit, but you know, he's got Andy Reid there, so that's a reason to like him. So, I guess the only other thing, receivers there. So, give me your thoughts on Corey Davis, on Rishard Matthews, whoever else. Corey Davis right now going first pick of the sixth round, 60th overall pick, 27th receiver off the board, right behind Marvin Jones, Chris Hogan, right in front of Michael Crabtree and Julian Edelman.
You know, I think the thing is Corey Davis to me is clearly the guy to own of the bunch. Mariota last year, it was a career high in pass attempts at 453. If you can see that maybe get up to 480, give or take, and Corey Davis ends up just being the benefit of 100-plus target, I'm in on that, on whatever the result is there. And I think that's a fair projection for him. Last year, the leader in targets for this team was Delanie Walker at 111, and then you had Matthews came in at 87. But don't forget, Corey Davis didn't miss a lot of time. But when he was out there, he did see a good amount of targets. He had 65 targets in the 11 games that he played. But I think the two, look at the playoff games: 8 targets against the Pats, 7 targets against the Chiefs. And I don't know, that game against the Patriots is certainly burned within my brain, where I do think that these two could be a really, really nice duo for years to come.
Yeah. Look, I do think they're going to run the ball quite a bit. But yeah, as we said, there'll be tons of play action in there. Last year, they were 14th in rushing attempts. This is with them not controlling the ball particularly well. Mm-hmm. So I think they get into a, you know, they we could see them, like, they'll be a top 10 rushing attempts team.
Yeah,
I think that I think there'll be more plays to go around.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what, you know, they had 443 rushing attempts, 496 passing attempts. So they didn't get anywhere near 1,000 plays, 950. I'd have to see where that ranks. But ultimately, I think they're just a more successful offense. You see more rushing attempts. I think they sneak into the top 10 there. And as far as the wide receivers are concerned, right now, Corey Davis is the one. As I said, you're paying that price for Matthews, 54th wide receiver off the board. That's a 12th round pick, 135th overall. And then who else we need to look for? Tywan Taylor.
Just quickly, I just want to interject quickly, if I have this correctly, yep, here from teamrankings.com, yep, plays per game, Titans 29th.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if they just get up into the top half of the league, you're looking at a big-time bump for everybody.
Yeah. So, I think as far as targets are concerned, though, the top three on this team are going to be Corey Davis, Deion Lewis, Delanie Walker. So, I think it pushes Rishard Matthews to fourth as far as targets are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
That's my take on it. Do you disagree? You agree on that?
I mean, Murray last year saw 47. Henrik only saw Derrick Henry only saw the 17. So yeah, I think. I mean, Rishard Matthews, I think, could still finish third. I don't know if Lewis would get up to that high a number. They were. I mean, last year it was 111 for Walker, 87 for Matthews. Eric Decker saw 83 targets. I mean, those are all going. All the Decker targets are going to be replaced, and also replaced likely by a more effective player. So that's a big boost as well. Yeah, it's close between them. I do think that Walker and Davis are clearly your 1-2.
Yeah. So I guess conceivably Matthews and Lewis could be right around the same. He only saw 36 targets in New England, but I think they like him more in the passing game here. So it could be interesting, but we obviously like what Lewis can do there from a combo standpoint. But last year, Rishard Matthews, 53 catches, 795 yards, 4 touchdowns. I think with a healthy Corey Davis, and by the way, he's banged up right now. Yeah, he's not practicing currently. So did I miss something on that? But I just want to make sure he's not out long term.
While you hit the Google, I don't know if you heard my laughter in the background. My good pal Ant is listening into the program, and he just texted me saying, "There's got to be something bad to say about the Titans." And I'm
yeah.
They're sure. To me, it's just they're so underrated. That's why I think the both of us are so high on them. I don't think we didn't list anybody as an RB1, at quarterback 1, or a wide receiver 1. It's just you're getting value almost, throughout this entire football team. And I think that's why, the both of us are so high on it as well. You know, if these guys were being even just appropriately ranked, then maybe, you could see
the narrative be
a little bit different.
Here's what I'll do for your buddy Ant. Matthews has been out for a while, actually, with an undisclosed injury. Mm-hmm. And it underscores, according to USA Today, it underscores the lack of experience in their receiving core. Obviously, Corey Davis coming into his second season. Darius Jennings, Deontay Burnett, Taywan Taylor, another second-year guy, and Tajay Sharp, who's there a couple of years, but hasn't really seen a ton of work. This is his 3rd season, Tajay Sharp. So they do have a lack of experience there, and they would need a veteran presence like Rishard Matthews to help round out that receiving core. I still think that those targets would flow down to Deion Lewis. Now, if you want me to say other negative items about them, just make sure.
You don't have to force it. I'm just saying I think that's why.
No, I'm telling you that Jonathan Cyprian just got hurt. Now they're bringing in Kenny Vaccaro, who wasn't a free agent because he's great.
Yeah, how do you feel about
this
defense?
They're bringing him in. Their front four has Jarrell Casey is an all-pro player. Benny Logan they brought in. I think their linebackers, they drafted Rashawn Evans, so they have a rookie there. Brian Arakpo still there. Wesley Woodyard there. Veteran players, probably past their primes, but Harold Landry they bring in as a pass rusher there. Look, they were for 2 or 3 seasons there the worst team on the outside of the defense covering guys. They brought in Logan Ryan. They now bring in Malcolm Butler. They drafted Adoree Jackson. Kevin Byard was a great safety last season, and now Cyprian's hurt, bringing in Vaccaro, as we mentioned. So there's talent in that defensive backfield. It hasn't played like it the last couple of years. They just added Malcolm Butler. They need to get that right. That's where they have struggled at times defensively. But the front four, good to go. Front seven, good. So
I think
Mike Vrabel coming in there as a new head coach and as a former defensive lineman, he played a kind of hybrid position too. He'd pass rush on occasion. I think that's helpful.
And to back up what you just said there, based on DVOA, they were 7th against the run. They were 24th against the pass last year. But if Adore Jackson takes another step in year two and Malcolm Butler comes in and solidifies or helps solidify that secondary, then you got to feel pretty good about it. And you never want injury. You never want to see a starter go down. But if you look at just the Pro Football Focus ranks for these guys, Cyprian stands out among the rest as a guy that just did not produce at the same level. So some might make the argument that they got an upgrade in Kenny Vaccaro. I would have made that argument for sure if they had added Eric Reed. But they might have. Yeah. And of all the guys that if one of them had to go down, that's likely the one you feel the least worried by, because there also were ample options for them within free agency to add somebody. So, you know, I'm not saying that they're going to make a top 10 jump against the pass, but they get themselves in just top half of the league. It's going to be a nice jump for the Titans.
Okay, so we only got a half an hour to go. So let's get over to your boy Deshaun Watson. You love him. I get it. Very good player.
I hope that's sarcastic.
I can't. Well, you like him, don't you?
I am so confused as to why people are taking Watson where they're taking him.
Yeah, right now ranked fifth according to Fantasy Pros. I'll bring up where he's going from an ADP standpoint. I want nothing to do with it early. It would take a confluence of events where he drops so low, then I would end up taking him right now. So in big ball, according to Nash, I'm jumping around different sites to give you a different perspective, but NFFC ADP, he's the second QB off the board right now. That's now, these guys are playing higher stakes. They're waiting longer, but still only Rodgers right now is going in front of him. With Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, Carson Wentz rounding out the top five. So they obviously feel like there's an opportunity for them to really open it up. They don't run the ball that well. Their offensive line is in question. So this could be a high stakes player's way of saying, look, he's going to have to Russell Wilson it most of the year on offense because Lamar Miller's not particularly good. They're not going to protect him. So he'll be out in the open making plays, slinging it to one of the best wide receivers in the league and Will Fuller, who's obviously a home run hitter.
I think so. I remember I had saw it come across my timeline, a conversation that, or at least you were responding to a video that Michael Florio did about both Watson and Wentz regressing. And just to focus on his points about Watson, the second best touchdown percentage the league has seen since 1970, with one Peyton Manning season ranking ahead of that. The first two games he played weren't even that great. The one half against the Jaguars and that Thursday night game against the Bengals was awful. So in five games, he had 19 total touchdowns. That's not happening again. It's not happening again. And in those five games, he threw seven interceptions. That will happen again. He had interception problems coming out of college. He's going to be playing behind a guaranteed bottom five offensive line. People have them ranking as the worst in the league pretty much everywhere unanimously, as a historically bad offensive line. So I will be kind and say it is, best case, a bottom five offensive line. There's nothing to suggest that he is going to be aided by the running game. And there's everything to suggest that he is going to have massive regression in terms of those touchdown numbers. To draft him as the second overall quarterback is to assume that he is going to repeat unprecedented numbers that he put up in a five-game span in the second year of his career, coming off another ACL injury. It is one of the craziest things I've ever seen.
I think it is the narrative that I just talked about. I think people think he's going to have to run around and make so many plays because they can't run the ball that much. The defense has tons of talent on it, but clearly their best player is off a couple of back surgeries now. I do think this defense still has a lot of pop in it with Merciless and McKinney and other guys. Obviously, Jadeveon Clowney. So they could limit other teams, but how often are they going to be on the field? Do you know what I mean? How effectively can they run it? I don't think it's going to be much at all. I do think Lamar Miller could cede the job to Deontay Foreman, but I don't know how great that is going to be for either guy. You know what I mean? Lamar Miller right now is the 22nd running back off the board going in late fourth round. That is not somebody I'd really want as my number one back or even really my number two. Deontay Foreman going 48th running back off the board, 11th round, 126th overall. So not a running back, not a running game that I want to jump on board with, but clearly the best player in this entire offense and one of the best players in the entire league is DeAndre Hopkins. So we'll lead with him right after the break. Mike and Kevin wrapping up FST after this.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Eclectic mix of songs today. We had Homicide earlier. This is Tori Amos, Vanessa Branch, one of those.
Vanessa Carlton.
Sean Engel producing Vanessa Carlton. Come on. I was in the wheelhouse. Piano playing songstress. So DeAndre Hopkins led the league. Well, we'll get to the wide receivers in a moment, Kevin. I think you had a final point on Deshaun Watson and how much you dislike him.
To me, though, I just think, like, would you take, like, forget where they're being drafted. They're both on the board. You have to pick one. Do you take Andrew Luck or Deshaun Watson?
Luck.
Like, and there's an 8-player ranking gap between the two. Like, I just think I don't understand it. Like, I've seen, like so Carson Wentz last year is another guy that people are talking about with the regression. I think he's like the 5th or 6th QB off the board. And I understand his ACL injury came after Watson's did. But he's playing in front of top 3 offensive line. But people are willing to take the guy playing in front of the worst offensive line in the league. People are willing to take this guy in front of Drew Brees. I don't understand. Like, to me, he'd be a fringe QB1 with some very serious upside. Nobody's getting value with where they're drafting Deshaun Watson. Nobody.
I agree with that. I agree with that completely. You do have to understand there is an opportunity for some serious passing volume. I don't think it's just a narrative. I think people are trying to figure out a way in which the Texans could or could not be successful. What's interesting is that I think you get a wide variance on the Texans. You know, you see the ESPN the Pro Football Focus report that we see that they have the 2nd worst roster in the entire league, and then Vegas has them as minus money to make the playoffs. And then we're talking about Deshaun Watson being the 2nd QB off the board, and you and I are like, a guy's got 2 ACLs and the offensive line stinks. So how is this being? I think you see a really wide variance, maybe as wide a variance on him and this team as you can see, because do people think that they're just going to be trailing all the time with that defense that he's going to throw it so much? I don't know. I think what it comes down to, and the reason he has risen up, is because he showed, obviously, in a short period of time last year, how good he can be, A, and B, they can't run the ball. It's going to be probably fairly lopsided, and I think Bill O'Brien would be comfortable calling a pass-heavy offense. So if I'm going to defend the ranking, that's what I would do. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I do think this is another thing, though, right? His interception percentage last year was a 3.9. The only qualified guys that had a worse interception percentage were Trevor Siemian and Deshaun Kizer. He's going to throw a lot of picks. He's going to throw a lot of picks. That part, not a fluke. That was his problem coming out of college. And the touchdown percentage is just, it's simply not going to repeat that way. Last year, the best touchdown percentage of those who qualified was a 7.5 from Wentz. And he, and again, like, people are expecting, you know, big time regression there. I understand why. He was on pace for 40 plus touchdowns. But it's just caution to the wind with Watson, the way, because the volume, I just think it's crazy.
Do you know where the Texans defense ranked in points allowed last year?
Probably dead last.
Dead last. Yeah. So they have superstars on that team. They didn't turn the ball over on people at all. So people ran it on them pretty effectively. They were 30th in points given up per drive. So pretty consistently they got scored on. Obviously, there's no J.J. Watt there, and there was a lot of other issues there. Even Jadeveon Clowney has not been historically healthy.
And they didn't have Whitney Merciless.
That's the thing you have to remember.
But is not everybody, like, part of the reason why that playoff odds are where they're at is because people are excited for this defense because J.J.'s back. Whitney Merciless is back.
They added Tyrann Mathieu.
They added the Honey Badger. So there's another flaw in this logic. And I don't know if it sounds like as if I'm, you know, directing this at you. I've never seen a ranking that I can remember and just feeling so far apart from the consensus on.
I get it.
It's boiled over into how people are projecting this team record-wise. Like, a lot of people like this team to win the division. The other day I was listening to a podcast of a guy who regularly does football who I think is incredibly smart and was talking about this team breaking into a top 10 offense in the league. What? They have the...
On that front, we'll talk about the wide receivers. DeAndre Hopkins was the most targeted wide receiver in the NFL this year. Would not surprise me if he stays there.
Yeah.
He went for 96 and 13, 78 and 13 touchdowns right now. Consensus, he is second wide receiver off the board. First round pick. No arguments from me whatsoever. I think the passing volume will be there. I think he sees a lot of it because, frankly, they don't have a lot of depth throughout the organization. They're not, neither of the backs, Lamar Miller or Deontay Foreman, are known as pass catching specialists. You probably favor Foreman there. But then the rest of it, it's Will Fuller, Braxton Miller, who is currently on the roster bubble, and said Bill O'Brien's had some positive comments about him, but he's been thought to be on the roster bubble in his third season, banged up a lot. Kiki Kute is a guy that they drafted earlier this year in the fourth round. Bruce Ellington is the other part of the depth chart. The tight ends are, they drafted Jordan Akins. They have Ryan Griffin and Steven Anderson, two guys that both were concussed last year, missing multiple games. So I like Griffin of those guys, but realistically, I don't know that I would draft. I definitely would not draft any of the Texans tight ends. There just won't be enough volume there. Consensus is they're not even in tight end two range, any of those guys. Let me see where Will Fuller is at, because he's really the only other guy that we need to talk about at this
touchdown point. Will Full, 7 touchdowns in his 4 games with Watson. It's not happening.
Yeah, that's why people like him. He's beginning the wide receiver 4 conversation. Let me see where I have him in NFFC. Fuller, give me a second as I talk about it. I mean, no arguments obviously yet with Hopkins or the tight ends. So let me see.
While you look that up, like, the thing about Hopkins is he's proven past that he's quarterback proof.
Going 79th overall.
Even if I think that Watson is overrated, he's still way better than the other quarterbacks that Hopkins has had. And Hopkins has proved to be quarterback proof. So nothing to suggest that Hopkins... his ADP is more than fine. He's going to be wonderful. Like you said, has a great chance to lead the league in targets.
Let me ask you this on Will Fuller. 39th off the board. He's your wide receiver 4.
Okay.
Would you take him over? Damn it. Let me see if this is standard or PPR. It's important because I'm talking of it in terms of PPR. Hopkins still 2nd. Let me get down to there. Will Fuller. Yeah, he drops. So in PPR, because he's obviously going to be a home run hitter. So he's 42nd.
Okay.
Wide receiver 4. Right behind Marquise Goodwin, Sterling Shepard. Right in front of Nelson Agholor, Jordy Nelson. How do you compare him to those guys?
I think I'd rather I'd rather have Goodwin. I'd rather have Aguilar. I'd rather have Jordy Nelson. Sterling Shepard. My only concern is that Sterling could end up fourth on his team.
I would
in
take
targets.
Fuller over Jordy Nelson. I would take Fuller over Jordy Nelson.
What about what Mo Moten told us? Jordy Nelson's going to be awesome. I think that Jordy does have.
It's okay for Mo to think. Mo to defend Jordy Nelson, saying that he's not old. Like, people are saying that he's old.
I've heard good things about him at camp.
Yeah, I read the article where they said he looks like he's 28 again. Well, like, he's running well. Like, Jake and I were joking about it yesterday. He's running well. Like, yeah, he's a professional football player. Like, I didn't think he was going to be in a wheelchair. Like, yeah, I get it. Mm-hmm. But you think he's great, so the Packers let him go?
Yeah.
I know Aaron Rodgers isn't happy about it, but it was noticeable last year. He's not the same guy. They wouldn't let him walk if he was great. They have Davante Adams, I get it, and Randall Cobb. But if Jordy was the guy, they would have kept him and let Cobb go.
Yeah. There is some middle ground, though, right?
Whatever.
Like, with Jordy and Green Bay, we're talking about, you know, he's going off the board as a wide receiver, too. You know, and so where you get him in Oakland is different. As far as those guys, though, Sterling Shepard, my concern there is, and you weren't on to talk NFC East, is that he might end up fourth in targets on that team. Odell, obviously.
Behind Odell, Engram.
And Barkley.
And Barkley?
I think Barkley's going to see a lot of
I'd still.
No lock. I'm not saying 100%, but.
Yeah, but I it could be. The you're right in saying it could be, but I would still have him over Barkley for targets.
And Fuller, he should be.
All right,
be
so there
second,
you go.
Right?
So Will Fuller, I think Will Fuller is kind of an interesting upside for if you have your three already. I like Will Fuller as a four because he's a home run hitter.
Yeah,
like,
that's
the guy you want.
He's
my third.
He's DFS king though. Like, you know, if you find the Will Fuller week, that's huge.
Yeah, of course.
You know, that I mean that's
you need the Will Fuller. That's right.
I think that's where a guy like Will Fuller does, you know, catch your eye. It's just he had seven touchdowns in 4 weeks. I saw this stat today.
Go
I just
ahead.
Want to quickly mention this, and I don't remember it sounds so preposterous that maybe it's wrong, but it's kind of how ridiculous the whole stretch was that Watson only had two dropped passes while he was in at quarterback. And the thing about Will Fuller is he is very, very bad hands. So, you know, that's another thing that you have to factor in. Like, if Will Fuller all of a sudden was rocking 100% catch rate for Watson, like, that's not happening again at all. These are just things to keep in mind.
Yeah, agreed. And as we said, the defense is not as good as the names that are on it anymore. So,
are you?
Don't know what J.J. Watt's going to be.
I'm struggling with the defense. I am. I think that there is top 10 potential there for sure. Because I think Jadeveon's great. If J.J. Watt is healthy, I mean, last time like we saw healthy J.J. Watt, he was arguably the best player in football, offense or defense. Like, he is what everybody now says Aaron Donald is. And Whitney Mercilus comes back, and Honey Badger has played, actually, full seasons, I think, the past 2 years, or at least close to it. And he's another, you know, really talented player.
He's the X factor. He could make up where they're losing it on the – where they lose – say Watt isn't what Watt used to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think he can make up for some of it on the back end, just make the talent, raise the level of talent. But, you know, I haven't liked their corners for like years. They drafted Kevin Johnson and he's still like their nickel guy. And they drafted him in the first round three years ago. So don't know. They might have missed on a couple of these guys. Ultimately, I think it could be, for fantasy purposes, they could be a defense that you can own. But last year they didn't get any of those turnovers, so I don't think you look at them right now. They could be a number one defense because the team defense, that stuff's so nebulous. I think, you know, from a IDP standpoint, I think you're looking at Clowney. You're taking a chance on Watt, and you probably like McKinney. Will Matthew make enough tackles and enough plays? Yeah, he could. You know, so there you go.
And with
we'll
the
close the book on the Texans.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to quickly say the defense was top 10 before last season every year, you know, up until 2014 on. So they are typically a very good defense, but, you know, it's all about that health.
Yeah. So Hall of Fame. Want to talk about it since it's the Hall of Fame inductions are happening tonight. They had the little parade I had on my TV earlier. And, you know, obviously the Terrell Owens story, unfortunately, is casting a little bit of a shadow over it. But I think the guys that are there will be able to celebrate without him casting a shadow over it. I'll go with what Tony Dungy said the other night because he's an actual Hall of Famer. I think he feels a little sad for T.O. as I do. Now, look, it's a self-inflicted wound, and I think there could be a time, doesn't have to be 6 months from now or a year from now, but in the future where he's like, you know what, that would have been, because Tony Dungy talked about what a reunion it was for his family, his high school teammates, his college teammates, his coaches. Everybody got together to have one big party. And also celebrate you. So T.O. can do that with Tennessee Chattanooga. And I think the Hall of Fame has done a good job telling him that we'll welcome you anytime. He's a guy that's been through a lot of emotional distress in his life. If you read about his life, and he had a really tough upbringing, and he overcame a lot to become one of the best wide receivers of all time. And I think he's making a petty argument impact what could have been a greater moment for him.
Yeah, I think there are two sides to it. One, I do think that T.O. was kind of put in a spotlight on just some of the hypocrisy that exists within the Hall of Fame. Some voters saying that they wouldn't have voted for him if they knew he wasn't going to show up. Those people should absolutely have their right to vote on the Hall of Fame taken. That is completely not what they are there for. And I think that is, you know, it's good to kind of people to get a look on that. I do think that there is a very valid argument to be made that what he is doing is a bit of, for lack of a better term, slap in the face to some of these other guys that have gotten into the Hall of Fame that have waited as well, as if to say he is better than them and that he is above that. So those are kind of the two sides to it. I see both. I think both are incredibly valid. Ultimately, you know, this is T.O., right? Like, this wasn't going to go down smooth, was it?
No, of course not. And I want to move on to a point that you made to me off air about the guys that you feel like this is the first time where, like, you got a chance to watch all these guys' careers. Ray Lewis and Randy Moss were absolute elite level first ballot Hall of Famers. Whether T.O. was or wasn't doesn't matter to me anymore. He's in the Hall of Fame. But you feel like you got a chance to watch all these guys' careers. Brian Dawkins, Ray Lewis, Randy Moss in particular. Randy Moss, from a fantasy standpoint, tremendous. Ray Lewis, from an IDP fantasy standpoint, tremendous, as was Dawkins. You know, Jerry Kramer, an old school, and Robert Brazil, old school. Bobby Bethard, one of the all-time great organizational sort of builders in NFL history. Unfortunately, he's tied to Ryan Leaf at the end of his career, but it's good to see him get in the Hall of Fame. So give me your thoughts, quick. You're much younger than me. I saw all these guys. I saw the big three, the big four for this class are Moss, Lewis, T.O., and Urlacher. T.O.'s not there, so Dawkins becomes that. I saw all those guys' careers, and I even saw their college careers. So real quick.
I had Dawkins, Owens, Urlacher, and Lewis jerseys. All I didn't have was Randy Moss. So I all deserving. Happy to see it.
Congrats to those guys. Kevin and I will close it out. Talk more about these Hall of Famers tomorrow on FST. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, folks. Thanks.